While visiting with my first cousin, Richard, in Augusta, I thought of a passage of Scripture that I'd like to share with you all this morning, found in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Some of you may be familiar with this passage of Scripture. David's men had been defeated by an enemy. They had destroyed one of Israel's cities. They had taken captive the men's wives and children. It was a dark, dark time in the life of King David. So much so that the people, even his men, that had been so grieved over the loss of their wives and children, had now become bitter toward King David. And they're wanting to stone David. Now, I've had people upset with me, but I don't think I've ever had anybody that wanted to stone me. If I have, I'm glad I didn't know about it. But David, these people now want to stone him. That is, take his life, because the soul of all the people was grieved. And you know, grief can turn into bitterness. And bitterness is poison to the soul. Paul said to the church at Hebrews that a root of bitterness can spring up and defile many. You know, bitterness, like a root, can start out and you can't even see it. A root often is not visible to us, but it's there. And if left alone, it will spring up and defile many. And I want to say this morning that, beloved, you and I need to be very careful that we never get bitter about the hardships and the trials of life. We may grieve, but let's not let our grief turn into bitterness so that we want to seek revenge. David, this text says, was greatly distressed. But I want to notice with you all the last statement in verse 6. Now this is 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. What did David do under these trying and distressful circumstances? But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I love that. David encouraged himself. Now, I think I've made it clear through the years that I love to be around people that encourage me. How many of y'all like that? I like to be around people that are encouragers. They say encouraging things. They pray for you, and they want you to know they love you, and they're for you if you need them in this life. And the word encouragement basically means to pour courage into somebody. And I've been around people that just poured courage into me. I mean, they just made me feel stronger in the Lord. And I would like to be an encourager. I think preachers, one of our primary jobs as we try to preach the Word of God, is to encourage people. And I would ask you to pray that God would help me to be an encourager. Because the Word of God is just full of wonderful things that will encourage us. But there are times in life when we're not around people that are encouraging. So David was in that situation, but what did he do? Did he despair of life? No, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Did you know that you and I can encourage ourselves? You can. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, how did David do that? Well, I want to turn with you just a moment to a passage, Psalm 27. You know, David wrote most of the Psalms, and we see him up and down in the Psalms. Every emotion known to humans will be expressed somewhere in the Psalms of David. Sometimes he was on the mountaintop, a lot of the time he was in the valley. But let's notice here in Psalm 27 and verse 14. Verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now let's pause a moment on that verse. David said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see. You know, sometimes we say seeing is believing. When I see it, I'll believe it. Well, David says here, when you start believing, you begin to see. Does that make sense to anybody? David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see. To see what? The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I want to tell you, His goodness is everywhere. It's all around us if we believe to see it, if we choose to dwell on it instead of dwelling on all the negative and ugly and discouraging things that are going on in this world. And there's plenty of that. If you enjoy being troubled and discouraged, watch the news. And you'll find a lot to worry about. But beloved, you and I need to have the attitude of King David. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How many of us are good at waiting? That's not something a lot of us are good at. But I can tell you, we'll be blessed if we learn to wait on the Lord, to be patient, and not try to hurry God up. He's got His own schedule, and you and I just need to learn to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. So I believe David strengthened himself or encouraged himself in the Lord, his God, even when the soldiers wanted to stone him. They were so upset with him. David encouraged himself in the Lord by waiting on the Lord. And then another way you and I can encourage ourselves is by prayer. Did you know that you and I have access to the God of this universe all the time through prayer? And He encourages us to pray. The Bible teaches us to pray without ceasing, to talk to our Heavenly Father. And the more we pray, the more we will be blessed in life. And David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. He wrote a lot of these beautiful songs, and he would sing them. And did you know that singing, I'm talking about singing the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs, can be very encouraging to God's children? It can. I wrote down the songs that were selected this morning. I do that occasionally just to remind us of what was on everybody's mind this morning. And the first song that was selected, y'all remember what it was? Great Faith of Our Fathers. And I sat there this morning, and I'm a little hoarse, and I couldn't sing much, but I listened to that beautiful song, Faith of Our Fathers. And I started thinking about the faith of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. and Joseph. I just started thinking about the faith of the people that I have known in my lifetime, and it just encouraged me. Last Sunday night I mentioned in a sermon about Sister Amanda Chance, a lady that I loved dearly when I was a boy, and her faith was an inspiration to me, and I named my youngest daughter after her. And Brother Wayne Collins came up to me after church and said she was his great aunt, and he knew her very well, and I enjoyed having Brother Wayne share with me, because I didn't know her nearly as well as Brother Wayne did. He used to have hog killings, and she wanted to be at every one of them. But her faith, her husband, Elder Josh Chance, died at a fairly young age. He's buried out here in the cemetery. Brother Wayne told me that when he was in such demand as a preacher, but he was very poor, and he would have to sell the butter and the milk they had in order to get gasoline to go to drive to preach the gospel. Now, I want to tell you, those are hard times. I've never known anything like that. But Elder Josh Chance's faithfulness inspires me. So the songs we sing, if you and I will listen to them, there's a message in all these songs. These songs are not just put in this book accidentally. They're put in their own purpose. You know why? To encourage us. That's why we need to get to church on time to hear the songs of Zion. I thank God for our song leaders that we have here and their ability to get the songs pitched where we can sing them. And then everybody just join in. Whether you sing bass, we could sure use some good bass here at our church, couldn't we? Alto, tenor, soprano, maybe all you can do is just sing also, but sing to the glory of God, because our song service, you know what it is? It's an offering of praise to God. And I know the world wouldn't pay to come over here and hear us sing. I get that. But I want our God to know we love Him and we're singing to Him. How many of y'all understand that this morning? Do y'all get it? You know, one time I was preaching in Arkansas, and I labored to try to teach a lesson, and I said, do y'all get this? And I remember a young sister in the handshake came up. She said, I got it. That's what preachers want to hear, that you get it. Singing is good for the soul. I'm talking about the singing of the hymns of Zion. Then we sung Dripping from the Cross. I want to tell you, if you and I by faith stand and look yonder to Calvary and see the blood of Jesus dripping from the cross for us, that's encouraging. You know, the gospel can humble us, because you know what the gospel says? The gospel says Sam Bryant was such a wretched sinner that Jesus had to die for his sins on the cross. But the gospel is also very encouraging, because it tells Sam Bryant that Jesus loved me so much, He was willing to die for me. Did y'all get that? Are y'all with me this morning? We've got a glorious Savior. And by faith, you and I ought to be looking at the drippings from the cross, the precious blood of Jesus. And then we sung what may have become my favorite hymn, How Deep the Father's Love. I can hardly hear that without weeping. Isn't that a beautiful song? And then, Savior, like a shepherd lead us. I need Thee every hour. How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. And then we sung, I love the sons of grace. And then we sung a song I really love, Standing on the Promises. Were y'all blessed by the singing this morning? I hope you were. And let me tell you, when you start singing, when you're down and discouraged, you better watch out or you'll be encouraged. Singing is good for a troubled soul. I remember a song, something about that, many years ago. So, and today we are blessed to have recordings of good singing. Isn't that wonderful? A lot of you all listen to Grace Alone, and they play a lot of wonderful songs on there constantly. So singing is one way that you and I can encourage ourselves. And if you, now a lot of people just choose to sing in the shower. I've asked people, do you sing? They'll say, I sing in the shower. Well, you need to come to church and help us sing. We see everybody here is in the choir. Do y'all know that? Everybody at Cool Springs is in the choir. You even get to select the songs we sing. Now, how good is that? Whatever's on your heart, you just select it. Now, we may not get around to your selection today, but we'll get it tonight if you come back. Just sing and take part in the singing of the hymns of Zion. That's very encouraging. Another thing that we can do is study the Word. It's hard to get discouraged when your mind is on the Holy Scriptures. God gave us this book, and Paul said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, are y'all interested in things that are profitable? If you got any money in the stock market, I bet you're interested in a profit. If you got a business, you want to show a profit. That's okay. But I want to tell you, the Word of God is profitable. Paul said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. And by the way, I just want to say, in this day and age when we have so many perversions or versions or translations of the Bible, I would encourage y'all to stay with the King James translation. I believe God was in that translation in 1611, and God was giving the English-speaking world His Word in a translation that we could trust. Some people say there's errors in the Bible. Listen, if God divinely inspired the Bible without error, I don't know why He wouldn't have divinely preserved it without error. I don't want to read a Bible that I got to think, now is that translated right? When I'm reading the King James, I've got total faith that it's the Word of God without error. How about y'all? Amen. Satan loves to pervert the Bible, and you'd be amazed how many of these perversions that have come out have left whole passages out, especially about the redeeming blood of Jesus. But when you're reading, and by the, you say, well, Brother Sam, the King James is in the old it's in the old English, and I just don't get it. I can read one of these new translations, and I get it. Well, I want to tell you, the King James translation is written on a fifth grade level. So if you've got a fifth grade education, and you can read, the King James is good for you. Now, you may have to think about it a little more, because it's not like reading the newspaper. Reading the Bible is not like reading the newspaper. The Bible is given to us to study, to meditate on. And the more you meditate on it, the more you're going to get out of it. Are y'all with me today? So Paul said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof. You want to know what the truth is? Read God's Word. Don't go on the internet and read all that stuff. Read God's Word. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. How many of y'all love to be reproved? Now, if you raise your hand, I'm going to question your honesty. Most of us don't like to be reproved. But I can tell you the Word of God will reprove us. And it's profitable for us to be reproved. And then he says, the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness. Most of us don't like to be corrected, but God gave us his, I tell you, this book will get right in your face. Have y'all noticed that? The Word of God is not intimidated by you and by me. Did you know the Word of God will tell a man how to treat his wife? Whoa. Are y'all listening? The Word of God will teach you what to do with your money. Now that's brave. You start telling people what to do with their money, they can get upset very quick, but God's word tells us what to do with it. It tells us how to get it. We ought to work. It tells us that we ought to save some, we ought to invest some wisely, and we ought to give some of it away. The Word of God will tell you how to raise your children. The Word of God will tell you how to treat your neighbor. The Word of God will get right in your face and correct you and me. And then the Word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. And I want to tell you, beloved, the more time you and I spend meditating on the Word of God and believing every word in here and receiving it humbly, it will encourage us and bless us in this life. And then another thing that I believe would encourage David, and I believe it would encourage us, is to remember the faithfulness of God to us through the years. You see, David, as a shepherd boy, caring for his daddy's sheep one day, had a lion to come up. A hungry lion wanting one of those lambs. You know what David did? He didn't run home. He didn't run scared. He's a shepherd. He loves the sheep. See, a hireling, you hire somebody to take care of your flock, they're there for the money. And if there's danger involved, they're going to run. But a shepherd loves the sheep. David loved the sheep. And God blessed him to kill that hungry lion. Then a bear came. I want to tell you, David was a man of faith. And when he went to face Goliath, the giant, King Saul said, you're no match for him. You can't face Goliath. And David remembered something. He remembered how God had delivered the lion and the bear into his hands. Now, I'm getting to be an old man, and I want to tell you, what I need to do is go back in my life and think about how God has taken care of me through so many trials, so many heartaches. My God is a faithful God. I'm nothing, but He's everything, and I can trust in Him. And if you'll think about it, just look back over your life, and I suspect you can remember how good God has been to you. Now, what are some of the things in life that could cause us distress? Well, financial problems. I've known a lot of people who have done well in life, and then all of a sudden the business went down, the economy went into a recession, and they were losing everything. Financial problems can be very distressing in this life. People losing their homes or their automobiles or whatever. I've known a number of people that have had to declare bankruptcy, not because they were lazy, but because everything turned against them. I've known farmers that had to declare bankruptcy because of years of drought. That's distressing. What's a person to do in a situation like that? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Divorce can be very discouraging. Just this week, I was visiting with a lady that I performed the wedding for her and her husband many years ago. He's a medical doctor. They have three beautiful children. He was a wonderful husband and father for a long time. And all of a sudden, he gets infatuated with a girl 20 years younger than him. And you wonder, how can that happen? I want to tell you, the devil is on the job, folks. And you and I've got to fight the world and the flesh and the devil all the time. And she is in great distress. Her heart is broken. I said to her, listen, what you're going through doesn't identify you. The blame is on him. Satan has got him. He's making a big fool of himself. But she's in great distress. She needs to be encouraged. And I want to say to everybody in this house today, Satan is after every one of us. The children, the young ones, the old, the feeble. You don't get so old the devil doesn't want to get you. Now, I'm not saying he's going to get us and take us to hell. If we're God's children saved by grace, we're going to heaven someday. But you can live in hell on this earth. Did you know it? Jonah did. Out of the belly of hell, he cried because he sinned. Sin complicates life. Are y'all listening? You say, my life is so complicated. It might be because you've got willful sin in your life. Willful sin can really complicate things. Other things that can cause you distress is when your health goes down and you're battling some disease of some kind, or you're in chronic pain. Maybe you got a prodigal child. Listen, life is hard on this earth, and all of us are subject to the burdens of life. But I want to tell you, we need to learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord and not have pity parties. How many of y'all have ever had a pity party? But I found out they're no fun. And honestly, the best thing to do, if you're going to have a pity party, I say start it. Announce you're going to start at 5 o'clock in the evening on Friday, and it's going to be over in 10 minutes. And don't expect anybody to come. Don't wallow in self-pity. It's a dangerous emotion. It can drown you. Are y'all listening to me? If I don't say anything else today for y'all to get, I want you to get this. Don't feel sorry for yourself. It's a dangerous emotion. Self-pity is like a whirlpool that'll pull you down into the cesspools of this world. I know it feels good. Self-pity, it's like a narcotic. It just feels good. Woe is me. But it's a dangerous emotion. And let's just learn. See, when you start feeling sorry for yourself, what you need to do is look at Jesus on that cross. Anybody ever been on a cross here this morning? Anybody here ever been crucified? We don't know what trouble is. Really. Let me back up. I don't want to minimize your struggles in life, but I want to tell you, compared to what our Savior went through, our problems in life are fairly minor. Let's go to another psalm, and then we'll close this morning. In Psalm 42, David would say this. Let's look at verse 5. He would say, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Now, David is talking, and he's talking to himself. Do any of y'all ever talk to yourselves? I used to hear my mom in the kitchen. She'd be trying to read a recipe, and she'd be talking out loud, and I thought, oh my goodness, Mama's losing her mind. Well, I've caught myself talking to myself a lot out loud. Do y'all ever talk to yourselves? We do. Now, if you're going to talk to yourself, make good sense. One man said one time when he was talking, somebody asked him why he talked to himself. He said, two reasons. One is, I like to talk to an intelligent man. And number two, I like to hear an intelligent man talk. Now, he's got an ego problem. But you're going to talk to yourself. When you talk to yourself, make good sense. David is talking to himself, and David says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" He's talking to himself, and then listen to what he says. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." David says, David, you need to hope in God. How many of y'all understand today you can hope in God? He's a faithful God. And I want to tell you, another thing that encourages us is the resurrection, the second coming and the resurrection. How many of y'all believe Jesus is coming back? There's a sign down in Dudley that says Jesus is coming soon. It's been there a long time. I don't know their definition of soon. Sometimes people put up those kind of signs to scare folks. You better get right with God because he's coming soon. Well, listen, Jesus made us right at Calvary. Y'all believe that? He made us right. So I'm not scared about His coming. I don't know when He's coming. There's two things I know about the second coming of Jesus. I know He's coming, but I don't know when. And nobody else does. But I know He's coming. It may be today, before I leave this pulpit. It might be 1,000 years from now. But I know He's coming back. And when He comes back, what a day that'll be. This cemetery will be vacated. You say, now you know, Brother Sam, those people been out there dead for years and years and their bodies are decayed. You know they're not going to live again. Well, I don't know how. The Bible does not explain to us the resurrection. It just says it's a mystery. But it's going to happen. And what a day that will be. And we lose our loved ones like we lost Aretha May. I tell you, I wept during that service when the Howells were singing one of those songs. I just cried and cried and cried. And I thought, I won't be able to say a word. I was sad. I loved Aretha May. She'd been in our family ever since I was, let's see, I think they got married the year after I was born. But when I got, the song was a good song. It just touched me. It's okay to cry at a funeral. Jesus did. It's good, really, to cry. Crying is good for the soul. But I want to tell you, after I got through crying, I got to thinking about where her spirit was. It was in glory. Her body's with us. Her spirit's in glory. Now that encouraged me. And made, I would never want to be at another funeral, especially speak at one, if I didn't believe in the resurrection. Would y'all? Listen, folks, we are in a broken, dying world. But I want to tell you, we're all bound for a city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that will encourage us as we live out our days. I want us to sing a song that I love, and I found it this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It's number 233, Brother Donnie. And I want to tell you about the guy who wrote this song, Thomas Christom. He was a farmer and failed at farming. Then he got into the insurance business and he failed as an insurance man. And then he started a printing business and that didn't really do well. So the world would look at this man and say he was a flop. He was a failure. But one day God blessed him to sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and write a song that has been blessing the Church of Jesus Christ for a long time. I want you all to listen to what he wrote. I'd say he was a success as an encourager. And if you're here today and love the Lord and you love the church and you'd like to be a part of the church to help the church grow in grace and knowledge, we give you the opportunity to come as we sing